helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:07 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, Certified Master Inspector. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045. 340-1045. And if you're calling...
Where? Okay.
From Tierra del Fuego.
Tierra del Fuego. It's very cold down there. It's winter there right now.
It is the southernmost point on any continent.
Yes.
That continent being South America.
Mm-hmm.
Jump off from there, you're in Antarctica.
Yes.
If you're calling from far, far away, the area code is 904-340-1045. Sasquatch, large man.
Yeah, what's going on, Tiny Tim?
I have three things to share with you. Are you ready?
Yes. Dead, yes, barely could wait.
Dead birds.
Dead birds, okay.
Flashing and encapsulated crawl spaces.
Encapsulated crawl spaces.
Yes.
I know, okay. That's...
I have been getting much feedback about dead birds from my friends at Chimney Champions.
Okay.
The most common dead bird found in people's chimneys.
Okay, let's hear it.
Hey, man, you want to win at Trivia Pursuit? You got to know this stuff.
Okay, okay. Well, I always beat you. I mean, what the heck?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The most common dead bird found in chimneys around the greater Jacksonville area is?
The house wren.
The chimney swift.
The chimney swift, okay.
Yeah, they're an endangered species, and
really?
They actually build the nest using spittle of some exotic type.
Right.
That they can attach.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is...
They make a little mud nest.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I used to be a Navy pilot, so I knew this.
Yes.
Baby swifts cannot hover. And baby swifts, because they cannot hover, as they, you know, the mom makes the nest, the dad's there, you're doing all the baby swift thing in the chimney.
Right.
Life is good. Until they go to teach them to fly.
Right. Oh, it's a
one and done.
One and done. You get one chance, and if you don't make it, then you're history.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So mama does what all good mama swifts do. They kick the baby out of the nest.
Right.
It boinks into the side of the chimney flue, goes, whoa, they do not know how to hover, and down they go. Michael Wood, the lead technician over Chimney Champions, in one home this week, 18 dead baby swifts cleaned out of the chimney.
Are you kidding? I mean, they don't have any successful takeoffs?
That was years
of
failure
to
fly.
Okay.
And it's interesting. There are many people who sit and say, well, it's their natural habitat. That's where they mm-hmm. like to live.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. It's a death trap. It looks like, to the swift, as they're choosing a nesting place, that a chimney is, oh, man, this is perfect.
Right.
Except they can't fly out. The adults can. The babies can't. So we're actually... you know, euthanizing these swifts.
Okay.
So what
is the solution?
What is the solution?
Okay.
Once they're in there and they're alive, they're protected by the Endangered Species Act. They cannot be removed. You got to wait till they kill themselves. they can off themselves. It's a fine if you kill them.
Okay.
So anyway, once you no longer hear any noise in your chimney, get it cleaned out and have a proper shroud cap or screen put around it. So we're not doing the birds any favor. We're killing
them.
Well,
they're just going to fly to somebody else that doesn't have a proper shroud.
Well, I'm on a campaign to have chimney champions put a proper shroud on every chimney in Florida.
Okay.
And we alone can save the endangered chimney swift.
You're going to save this chimney swift.
I just thought that
was
interesting.
You're going to be known for something.
Yeah.
I mean, besides your fingernail polish.
Next is flashings.
Yes.
Not flashings like there goes the streaker, but roofing flashings.
Yes.
You know, every day in Jacksonville, there are several hundred new roofs put on.
Yes.
And a roof is really a roofing system.
Yeah.
It is the shingles and it also the flashings and the boots where there are penetrations.
Right.
To put on new shingles and not change the flashings and those boots where the plumbing vents come through.
Waste of money.
It's the equivalent of taking a shower and putting back on your dirty underwear.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't really solve the problem.
That's kind of disgusting.
You got a visual on that?
You got a visual on that.
Things just don't make sense.
But you
sense.
Don't wear underwear, so.
Yeah. So, and roofers realize that, and changing out the flashings can be expensive, can be difficult or complex. It's especially complex and difficult if you have a two-story home that is in stucco. What happens is when they built the home originally, the stucco guy has stuccoed the flashing in place.
Right, right.
So it really requires cutting the stucco to do this thing correctly.
Because normally they tuck it in the brick joints. You know,
tuck point, ideally, not a lot of tuck pointing happening anymore either. Right. That's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
We'll do that one next week.
Okay.
So here's the scenario. House is 10 years old. Roof's been leaking for years. The roofer comes out and says, no problem, we'll put you on a new roof, puts on a brand new roof, didn't change the flashing. First time it rains, leaking again.
Flashing leaks.
It's leaking again. It's just preposterous. So when you're making the decision to get a new roof, you want to assure that flashings are being changed out. One of the wording to watch out for, it's not intended for ill, but it just works out bad for the consumer, is replace flashings as necessary. Meaning while they're doing the roof, if they see something from the roof that looks problematic, they'll repair that area. The problem is how you detect flashing failures from the attic. You crawl under there and look at all those things. Are there stains? Is there rots or anything like that? Mm. Not normally done by roofers.
Yes.
So you want to be sure you're changing out your flashings. Or if you make the decision not to, you want to make sure you understood that it wasn't done.
And paint and prime your flashings. You know, prime them and paint them. They last
longer.
They last
done with new galvanized flashings.
Yeah, but it lasts longer.
Now, we see them that are pre-enameled.
Right, right.
We see them in copper. Right. I honestly don't know of any roofer who's actively doing
it. I painted mine. I primed
them. You do lots of things. Just sharing with you. Okay. And here, I'll spot you this.
Okay, yeah.
You do a lot of interesting things. Some of them are of great value.
Right.
If they're not routinely something that's done by roofers in the community, I want people to know that. So, you know, when they ask, hey, paint my flashings, they look at them like they're from Mars. So, yes, you can do that. Yes, you can have that conversation. It's not a normal expectation.
Right.
Lastly is encapsulated crawl spaces.
Encapsulated crawl spaces.
In addition to
being...
Do you
want to be buried in an encapsulated crawl space?
You wouldn't rot.
Okay, that's great. Okay, I keep that in mind.
Yeah. It'd be like mummified down there.
Right.
So encapsulated crawl space. If you have a crawl space, it's in our area, it's almost always nasty down there. Even in the best of situations, it's not wonderful. Encapsulated crawl space is where instead of having air that's hot and moist blow through it, we just seal it all off, put a beautiful vinyl liner across the floor, up the sidewalls, and then into that, put a very small dehumidifier.
Right.
And it's gorgeous. It makes your home clean. It makes your home fresh. I just love encapsulated crawl spaces.
I found a lot of dead animals underneath crawl spaces.
Oh, all the time.
A lot of them.
All the time. Yeah. And now, if it's encapsulated, it's sealed. There's no more dead animals. There's no more mold. There's nothing down there except clean and fresh. And over at Alpha Foundations, they'll even do a thing, if you like, cost a little extra.
Yes.
They'll put LED lighting down there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let me tell you, as a home inspector, you know, you go, I got to go in a crawl space, which is fine. And then you discover it's an encapsulated crawl space with LED lighting.
You just lay around down
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. Just It's just wallowing.
Yeah. Okay.
I love encapsulated crawl spaces. Great way to solve your water problems under your home.
Okay.
What's exciting for you besides the heat?
Hey, there's a lot of things you can do. If you're your home gardener and you're trying to save cost and you love shrubbery, you know, you want to have more shrubs to plant and you have your favorite plant, this is a good time to air layer. You ever
what
heard
does
that?
Air layer? I don't know
it's
what that
is. It's a way to propagate, you know.
I know what propagate is.
Yeah, well, thank God.
Done it several times.
I don't know, but we didn't
air
have to get
propagate.
Into a biology lesson with you. But the air layering is a way to propagate, and it's very, very simple, and your success rate goes up very high. So let's say,
so what is it?
It's if you had your favorite hydrangea, you only have one of them, and you go in the store, they're $30 a piece.
That
you
leaves
say, well,
me out.
So you just take your hydrangea branch and you clear out the mulch and you pull the leaves off in the section and you bring it in contact with the dirt. And some shrubs, like maybe camellia or any laurel petalum, you may want to put some little bit of rooting hormone in that area, make a little scrape with an X-Acto knife in that area, and then take a brick or anything heavy and push the or put it on top of the branch. You can do it with trees, small trees. You can do it with anything, you know, and just set that brick on there and then cover it up back up with mulch. Well, by fall, that point that you have contact with the soil is going to be rooted. And you can do this with roses. Roses do this very well. And so you can have a lot at a very inexpensive, free, basically free.
Free?
The cost to do it
you
is
got my attention.
Maybe one container of rooting hormone, which is about $5. And you come back in fall and you pull the brick off. You'll notice that it's rooted. And then you just right below the roots, you just cut that branch off. Find you a nice place, put it in the ground, and you're back. You're in business with a new shrub, and your overall cost is zero. And you can also do that. There's another way to do this. Let's say if you have a large hydrangea. Well, we're using hydrangeas as our subject now. You could take some potting mix and bury the hydrangea up to about maybe 3/4 of the way.
Really?
3/4 of the way. Just bury it.
Doesn't rot?
No. Pull the leaves off, bury it, and then moisten it. So by fall, you pull all the dirt away, pour all the soil away, and one of those node points, most of them, are going to have new roots. So you'll take one hydrangea, and you'll be able to make 30 plants out of that one hydrangea. So when you cut right below the roots, put it in the soil, and you're in business on a new plantlet right there. So very, very, very simple. And this is the best time to do it. It's moist. We're getting a lot of rainfall. And it's a great idea to get started.
You know what I find interesting about that is one of the things you've schooled us on for years now is not to bury your plants or shrubs too deep.
Yes.
That if you're too shallow, you're okay. Yes. If you're too deep, you're not.
Yes.
Yet this particular technique goes exactly the opposite.
Well, we're not using soil. We're using planting mix, you know, which is light and airy. It's moist, but it's airy, and then you're only having the branch in contact. You're not burying the branch.
Oh, I misunderstood that.
You put it in contact with.
So it's laying horizontal.
Horizontal. You're just bending it down, bringing it in contact with the soil, putting a brick or something heavy to weigh it down, and then putting mulch over it.
So what you're really doing is sort of synthesizing what would happen in nature. Branch falls down, lays on the ground, and nodes take root.
Exactly. Very easy with roses. That's how I did a lot of roses like that.
That's cool.
Okay.
It's 720 here at News 104.5. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 725 here at News 104.5. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, along with Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden, enjoying the day together, taking your calls. Heading over to Julington Creek, checking in with Kathy, who's replacing her AC. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, Kathy. How could we help?
All right, thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm replacing my central AC, and I want to know if it's necessary to replace the line set. The copper tubing between the condenser and the air handler.
Well, I will share with you my story. This past year, I replaced 4 heat pumps, 2 at my house, 1 in my office, and 1 at one of our rental homes. And every single time, I made the decision to spend the extra money to replace the copper tubing. So my answer is yes. Is it a requirement or some law? No, it isn't. But it's been there, you know, forever. And I believe it's money well spent to replace it.
Okay, that's good to know because I've opted to purchase it. I'm going to go ahead and
good
do
job,
that.
Kathy. And you know me, I'm a frugal guy. And if I break out a few hundred extra bucks to do that, it's money well spent.
Okay, and they are charging, it's like $450.
Well, you know, the cost to do it varies so much with how long that copper tube is and how difficult it is to run. So that's not exorbitant. It's a lot of money. But if it's a pretty good long run, and especially if it's two stories, that's very typical.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you.
I made you a happy day?
You did. I'm going to be happier when I get my AC, though.
Oh, you know, it's not working right now.
No.
Oh, when are they putting it in?
Monday.
Why the delay?
Well, it just went out yesterday, and I had three different contractors come in, and I made a selection last night. So
that's pretty fair. If you decide it last night and they're installing Monday, I think that's pretty darn good service.
Okay.
What brand did you choose?
Carrier.
Okay.
And I'm getting it's a 3-ton 16 sear two-stage.
Ooh, 16 sear two-stage. You're a fancy girl.
Yeah, and a variable air handler.
Variable speed air handler. You did great. You did great. What thermostat did you choose?
It's a Wi-Fi. I think it's Core, C-O-R.
Does it have the ability for you to set the desired humidity as well as the desired temperature?
Yes.
Excellent. You've done everything perfect.
Did.
Yeah. And try this out, Kathy, if you've not had the variable speed before and that fancy, it's not all that fancy, but the thermostat. Set your humidity at about 45%.
Okay.
Set the temperature at 80 and see how comfortable you feel.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. That's really how you begin to save money. As you lower the humidity, lets the temperature go up and you'll still stay nice and comfortable. You'll feel fresh.
Fresh as a daisy.
All righty.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, check in with us next week and tell us how the install went.
Okay, I'll do that.
Bye, ma'am.
Bye.
You know, Kathy's point about replacing that copper refrigerant line that runs from the compressor to the air handler is exactly analogous to replacing the flashings when you do your roof.
Right.
One of the biggest frustrations when you have a nice brand new system like that is you've connected it with the old line. And depending on the age of a person's home, it may be on its second or third or even more refrigerant line.
Sure.
And it's just so susceptible to leak and other problem. And $450 is a bunch of money for an upgrade. Trust me, if that line fails and now you got to change it later when people are already out there, it's even more expensive. It's also nearly impossible to troubleshoot that line once it's past the fittings because it's, you know, encapsulated in the wall or in the tube. So, yep, frugal people.
Start from a clean slate. Just
exactly. That also lets you hold the air conditioning. It lets you hold the contractor accountable for the entire system. There's no excuses later.
Okay.
729 here at News 104.5. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 737 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Reminder, should you have an interest in a large landscape or taking on a landscape project at your home, be it large or small, landscape, hardscape, and even the vertical stuff, pergolas and all that neat stuff like that, Larry'sGarden.com. Blog, video, frequently asked questions. Larry also has a telephone. Get your crayon. 346-1970. Again, slow. 346-1970. That's Navy
That's
pilot
good.
Talk.
You like Perfect. That? Yeah. Perfect. Like
Me,
it.
Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online. GoHomePro.com. Home inspections, commercial building inspections, environmental sampling, and other consultative services of that type. We can take good care of you. GoHomePro.com. And the telephone, 268-8211.
You know what you got to do right now?
No.
If you're a vegetable gardener, you know, getting ready for the winter and the fall crop.
Okay.
Get ready for the fall crop. Okay. You gotta go out there and get a lot of compost. Even green manure. You can even use green manure this time if you have a volunteer horse, you know, next door or something like that. Or
yeah.
A cow. Just chase a cow around and get some green manure and till it into the
soil.
I'd
turn green if I did that.
I'll tell you one day about a time I went and got some green manure from it with my truck. But anyway, you put it in the ground, you know, do some soil preparation. Okay. The winter is a great time for root crops, cabbage. Any root crops? Actually, it's potatoes.
Is cabbage a root crop? What's on the top?
Most of the root crops and some other, you know, cold weather crops.
Just checking.
But till it into the soil, and then solarization. You got to solarize right now. You can control the weeds. You can control disease. Pull out the plastic, cover the area, and it's going to make your gardening much easier. And if you've had no crop rotation, you know, a lot of times you need to have crop rotation, prevents disease from building up in one area. This will prevent it. You know, heats the area with this intense heat, and the material that you can use leaf, old leaf, mold, or whatever, everything, just till that in, old leaves, anything like that, till it in there. It will speed up the rate of decomposition and sterilize the soil 4 inches deep. All the weed seed 4 inches deep is going to be gone. So in the fall or in the winter, if you feel like planting a winter crop, you're going to be ready to grow, and it's going to be pretty much effortless, you know, because
effortless.
There's not
going to be effortless. Boy, you just got me.
Effortless. That's something right up your alley there.
Yeah,
Molly.
Free and effortless.
So there's some good preparation and prepare for your winter gardening.
All right, let's see if we can help Scott on the west side with his lemon tree. Scott, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
This question is for Larry. The lemon tree I've got is probably the third year that it's putting on fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 10 or 12 feet tall.
Wow, that's a big one for 3 years old.
It's the third year it's put on fruit. It's
okay.
Probably around 15 years old.
Oh, 15 years old. Okay.
So the tree looks like it's been turned upside down from the weight of the fruit.
Yes.
It's got the limbs hanging down.
Wow.
Down and on. Should I go in and thin out some of the fruit?
Well, that would be a good idea. That would be a good idea. I'd say maybe 10% and see how it looks after that. What that's going to do is the lemons are going to be slightly larger and better, you know, better tasting. I think that when you have these, when you have so much fruit on there, the lemons become smaller. You know, it just the trees at its capacity. You probably have like 900, 600 fruit on there.
Probably so.
Yeah, that thing is loaded. Sounds like.
Yeah, I guess for all the extra rain.
The rain, and it's in that next year. The crop is not going to be as big, but you're having a bumper crop this year. But thinning it down around 10%, you know, you'll get bigger fruit, and I think a little more tasty.
Okay, just go in, snip them off right above.
Yeah, right. And the branches that are on a lot of stress is the ones you want to remove. You know, believe it or not, the horizontal branches are going to be your stronger branches. That's not the ones you normally need to worry about. It's just ones that are more vertical. Your horizontal branches, the wood in a horizontal branch, whether it be an oak tree or a citrus tree, is the strongest wood. In fact, shipbuilders looked for those horizontal branches because that tissue is really dense there because it's supporting that weight over a long period of time. All right?
All right.
So have at it. Great on the bumper crop.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, you're going to have to make a lot of lemon pies.
Yeah.
Lemon meringue is my favorite. Okay.
I'll help him out.
Okay.
Heck yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks,
right, Scott.
Man,
thanks.
Yep. All right. So let's see if we can help Alan on the south side to identify an unknown tree, which is always a challenge on the radio.
Yeah. Well, we could try.
Alan, welcome to the Home and Garden Show.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is really a question for my man, Larry, there. So I've got this specimen tree. I can't tell whether it's a sycamore or a London plane. It didn't put out any seed pods last year or this year, but it is, like, exfoliating a lot with all this rain we've been getting. I was hoping maybe you could give me some idea how to figure
sycamore.
Out
sycamore.
Okay.
Sycamore, definitely.
What did you base that on?
The exfoliation, you know, that's definitely a sycamore. All right.
But don't they put out those big seed pods?
Yeah, how old is it?
You know, I don't know. The house, we just bought it. The house was built in the 70s, so it's probably, you know, it's probably 70, 80 feet tall at this point, the
wow.
tree.
Yeah.
So the house is probably, you know, 40, 34, 35, 40 years old, something like that.
And it hasn't ever put out those little seed pods?
No, never. Well, not since I've been here. I mean, I've only been living here since last fall.
You have a eunuch tree.
That's a
sorry?
Question. No, that's
a
yeah.
Eunuch. No
that's,
balls.
That's a little. that's interesting, but it is a sycamore, for sure.
All right.
It's got a white trunk. It's got a white trunk, kind of a.
Well, the trunk at the base, like down towards about the first 10 feet or so, is like mottled and it's different colors. But then from there above, it's starting, like I said, it's exfoliating, and it's like in parts, it's like green. Other places it's peachy colored.
Yeah.
Other places it's white.
Sycamore.
All right. So what's going on? Why isn't it putting out?
That's like a good question. A good question. I'll have to think about that one. Sycamores, any sycamore I've known, always put out hundreds of thousands.
Do they need to be near other sycamores so they're sort of
No.
Interacting?
Yeah, they didn't put out any flowers this year or anything.
No, that's weird. That's weird. I'll have to think about that one. You got me on that one.
All right,
I'm drawing a complete blank on that. All right.
I love listening to you guys. Listen to you every Saturday. Miss the second hour. And we all appreciate your service to your country, both of you.
Thank you. Sam. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, sir. Great day. Yeah. I don't know why that is. That's weird.
I had a camellia one time that didn't bloom for 8 years. Until I tried, I said, this year.
What did you do to force it to bloom?
I tried everything.
It just happened on its own.
And I said, this year, I'm chainsaw. And then it flowered.
That's the technique.
Chainsaw, I'm cutting that thing down.
You hear that, buddy? That's your call.
It was the strangest thing. It puzzled me and puzzled me for years. I said, well, it's got to be this year. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But it's, sometimes you have these anomalies, you know what I mean?
I was thinking about Kathy again with her nice new air conditioning system.
Right.
And this thought applies not only to her, but she's what stimulated my thought. Please.
Stimulating thinking, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Quality filters for your HVAC system changed regularly. Pleated media. Write that down. When you go to purchase your filters, and I recommend you buy them by the box, not individually, because if you always have them, you're more likely to change them regularly.
Yes, absolutely.
The ones that look kind of zigzaggy, that's called pleated media.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're zigzaggy like that...
Surface air.
Exactly correct. If you could imagine taking that accordion of pleated filter material and pulling it out, it would be larger... The surface area would be larger than the actual frame that it rests in. Mm-hmm. That allows the manufacturer to put smaller holes, essentially, in the material so you can get the same amount of air passage yet through a smaller hole. So rather than one gargantuan hole, which would be no filter, you've got billions and billions of little holes. And the smaller the hole, the finer the filtration, and the cleaner your air is. And remember this. The purpose of the filter, its primary purpose, is to protect the HVAC coil. Because if the coil is clean, it's operating most efficiently and providing you the cleanest air. So yeah, you get clean air because you have a nice filter, but its primary purpose is to clean the filter or keep the coil clean. When the coil gets dirty, it virtually always is mold encrusted, so you get that wet, moldy slime on it.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to you breathing wet, moldy slime, which no one really wants to do, it's also reduces the space, the passage between the coil fins. So you get less air that's got funk in it, or less total air, and the air that you have has funk in it. So quality filters, changed regular, make sure they fit good and right. And you can inspect your own HVAC coil. It doesn't take any special skill. All you need to do is get yourself a little light, pull out the filter, and shine your light up there. It's okay if you don't see the whole thing. But if you looked at that and say, would I eat off of that? Then it needs to be cleaned if your answer was no. It should be squeaky clean because every single breath that you take in your home passes through that air conditioner coil and picks up for you to breathe whatever's there. And often, if you're a nose picker, usually...
Okay.
Well, this is science.
Okay.
So what you're picking out of your nose is what's ever on your air conditioning coil. So if you've got a super clean air conditioning coil, then your nose is filtering less funk out of the air, and you will not need to pick as often.
Oh, good. It's okay, how, I gotta remember that.
Well, it's absolutely true.
Okay.
So if you've got a filthy air conditioning coil, right? You're laying in bed, you're sleeping all night long, you're breathing all that stuff in, your lungs don't want it, so your nose is acting like the AC filter, and that's how you get them big old honkers in there. And it's just a way to solve problem. You didn't know that, did you? How it all ties together?
No, I didn't. I keep that in mind next time. All right.
So like, think about this at a restaurant. So you see somebody digging for one at a restaurant, you know, finger up to the third knuckle. All you need to do is politely walk over that person. You don't need to say anything about their particular personal habit. Say, hey, man, you might consider pleated media filters. Dude will be like, what are you talking about? That's how it all plays together. It's the connection between our personal biology and the mechanical things that happen inside of our home.
Oh, okay.
It's 7:50 here.
I'll keep that in mind.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass you after sharing some general stuff.
Okay.
7:50 here at News 104.5. Brief break, jumping right back to your calls at 340-1045. Stay with us. Right back. 7:54 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. As always, must share with you, Larry and I are very grateful that you've been with us. Very grateful for the way that you've continued to support Home Pro Inspections as well as Larry's Garden. That is a good thing, and we are, in fact, grateful. Today, Saturday, 10 till noon, is the monthly meeting, training session of the Jacksonville chapter of NACHI. So if you are a home inspector, go to jacksonvillenachi.com. If you'd like to be a home inspector, jacksonvillenachi.com. Everyone is welcome. There's no dues, no rules. It's just a gathering of home inspectors sharing ideas with an effort to make each other be better. So jacksonvillenachi.com. A lot of good stuff there. What is the most important thing you've got to do this week?
Most important thing, grass care.
Grass care?
Yeah, all this humidity, make sure you're getting down some fungicide on your grass. And sod webworms are going to be out in force, you know, all this humidity, the shade areas. Make sure you treat, get ahead of the game a little bit. And you should have a good completion of summer.
Do me a favor while you're out. You look at a lot of yards and whatnot, and you're seeing houses at the same time.
Yes.
I'm on this kick to it's a mission.
Kick.
To save the birds, in particular
the chimney swifts. Chimney swifts, okay.
Yeah. When you're at a home, and other people can help us with this too.
Right, sure.
You're at a home, whether it's your own home or other people's home, and you look up at the chimney at the top of the fireplace, and you notice there's no cap or cover there. That is a death trap for the endangered chimney swift.
Plus the water's getting down there, right?
I'm about saving the birds.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's also destroying the chimney, and it's bringing in mold and dead bugs, and it's a horrible thing.
Right.
But every single chimney on Earth should have a cap, and the cap should also, if not integral to the cap, have a screen around it to keep stuff out of the chimney. There's disease, there's mold, there's funk, there's dead birds.
Do raccoons get in chimneys?
Oh, yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't die there as often. They're pretty good at getting themselves back out. What they tend to do there is drop their goodies there. Yeah.
That's along the nose picking the scenario.
Exactly.
Okay. We're getting into bodily functions this week.
No, well, it's not healthy.
Okay, yes.
It's not healthy for you, the person, to have the, and big rats, too.
Yeah.
Is that called histoplastosis?
Yes.
There's some nasty, nasty diseases.
And see, all of me solve a little chimney cap on there, a little screen.
Exactly.
That's going
to take that risk to zero.
All right.
And nothing matters till it matters, and it matters a whole lot.
Right.
And it's also interesting when people do that themselves. You know, whenever we talk about chimney sweeps, you know, I think I'll get my shop vac and I'll go do that. That's a very unpleasant experience. And here's what happens with a traditional shop vac and you attempt to clean a chimney. And a lot of Craigslist knuckleheads do the same thing. The shop vac was not intended to be used to get that funk out of there in a safe way. Mm-hmm. So you end up distributing.
You're sure you're blowing it everywhere.
Exactly. It just shoots out the back. It doesn't have the right HEPA and the other filtration on it to assure that when you're extracting the super nasties out of the chimney, they don't blow through the house. Mm-hmm. So it is specialized equipment. Mm-hmm. Lint cleaning is the same thing in dryer vents. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, get a bottle brush and a dryer and they end up blowing it all through the house. It's very specialized equipment to do anything right. Doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And until you dig deep in it, you don't realize that. And you do a good do-it-yourself or effort, and you end up in big trouble with a wife.
Right.
Not good.
Right.
Not good at all. Oh, if you need their website.
Yes.
ChimneyChampions.com. 7:58 here at News 104.5. We're grateful that you're
Thank
with
you
us.
Brandon.
Have a beautiful day. Go Jags. And in the interim, here's your turn signal.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.